Allow me to introduce to you Kenji Daniel Shocker. And this is our daughter Jennifer's second child and Janice and I's seventh grandchild. The boys are leading 5-2 now. So I'm declaring an early victory. I think that's going to be about it. So Kenji was born on August 4th this summer. And so he's actually 8 weeks old today. And we're so proud of him. Quite a little guy there. So the reason I'm talking, well, first of all, I'm a proud grandpa, and I have a way of just always fitting my grandkids into these sermons somehow. The reason I wanted you to see Kenji is because this morning, when I asked the question, what are we, that is his family and his church, what are we going to teach this young man about his life? Are we going to teach him that life is just a random cosmic accident? That your life and your fate is little different than that of the animals? You're born, you fight to survive, and then you die? That there's nothing really special or unique about any one person? Or are we going to teach this young man that he has a divine purpose? That he's not an accident, that he's been created by God, is loved by God, and that God has a plan for his life that is unique to him, that he is loved and not forsaken, that his life has potential and purpose. Yeah, that's what we're going to be teaching our grandson. Psalm 139, David wrote these words, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." And he's speaking about actually his mother's womb there. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." So I want you to know this morning, every person here, you're not some kind of random cosmic accident. You're created by God. You're loved by God. God has a purpose for your life, a plan for your life, a destiny for your life. You see, most of the world leaves God out of the equation. And when you leave God out of the equation, everything is random and chance, and there's no real sense of purpose and destiny. So this morning, let's put God back in the equation. Amen? Right? And let's understand who we really are. So turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the creation of human beings. Our earthly parents, Adam and Eve. All right? Now, I want to get this out there because I want you to have an understanding of who we are. God was not lonely, bored, or insecure in need of a creature to love and adore him. God has existed for all eternity in perfect harmony as a divine trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it was out of God's perfect goodness and abundant love that God joyfully created our human parents, Adam and Eve. And so we're gonna look at this creation story as we continue our series through these first three chapters in the book of Genesis. Before I read this passage, I want to start your thinking about three questions, okay? And these are three questions that are going to be answered in the text we're about to read, okay? Here's the three questions. Whose image were you created in? Has God blessed you or cursed you? Does God see you as good or bad? Okay? Our text this morning is going to answer those three questions. Now, you might think you already know the answer to those questions. I hope you do. But this morning, I want to give you a biblical foundation to be able to answer these questions with confidence. Whose image were you created in? Has God blessed you or cursed you? Does God see you as good or bad? All right? We're going to find all three answers in this text. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, Genesis 1, verse 26, okay? says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that he may rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. All right? So whose image were you created in? Created in the image of God, right? And has God blessed you or cursed you? God's blessed you. Okay. And third question, does God see you as good or bad? All right. Now, some of you sound pretty confident. Some of you are not so sure. All right. You see, the devil doesn't want you to know who you are in the Lord. Satan doesn't want you to hear this message. He doesn't want you to read these scriptures. He doesn't want, because he knows how dangerous Christians become when they understand who they are. And so I want you to get this, because it's important to understand where you've come from and where you're going. Where you've come from and where, it's kind of like being on a journey. If you find yourself in the middle of a journey, but you have no idea where you came from or where you're going, you're going to be very confused on your journey, right? So when you're going on a journey, you want to know where you've come from and where you're going. So a lot of Christians are kind of in the middle of this journey, but they don't really understand where we've come from or where we're going. A lot of Christians have been taught in their life what I would call the two-part gospel, all right? And the two-part gospel is fantastic, but it's not the whole story. The two-part gospel goes like this. Humankind is fallen and sinful. Very true. Jesus came into the world to die in our place on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and wait for him to come back, right? So these things are true. And someone can become a Christian just knowing those two things, right? I know I did, all right? So this is the true story. This is the true gospel, but it's not the complete story. It's not all of the story. And the reason it's not all of the story is because it leaves out the beginning and it leaves out the end. Have you ever walked into a movie late? Like you get into the movie and maybe you've come into the movie like 10 minutes late, and so you're in the middle of the movie, and as good as the movie might be, the fact that you miss those first 10 minutes, you're still asking questions like, I don't know what's going on here, right? Or you go to a movie and then for some reason you have to leave early, and so you miss the last 10 minutes of the movie, and you're like, man, I don't, that was a great movie, but I don't know how it ended. This is why, church, we don't, you know, we read the Gospels for sure, but you also need to read the book of Genesis and know how the movie started, and you need to read the book of Revelation and know how the movie ends, right? And so I would propose this morning a four-part gospel that goes like this. Number one, everything started in perfect order and harmony under God's loving governance. Okay, that's how it starts off in the Garden of Eden. Number two, humankind rebelled against God, usurping authority and claiming autonomy, and fell into a sinful state. Third part of the gospel, Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to redeem humankind through his life, death, and resurrection, establishing his kingdom through his church. Okay, we need to get that. And then number four, God is in the process of restoring all things and will one day return all creation to its glorious splendor. Yeah. Now you see what a difference knowing the beginning and the end makes, right? in our story. So I don't want you to miss the beginning. I don't want you to miss the end. And I want you to understand where you are in your journey. And I want you to, yes, know Jesus. But I want you to get a picture for your life that there's nothing more exciting than being a part of God's story, being a part of what God is doing. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go back through those three questions. And we're going to just dig a little deeper into each one of those things, because this is foundational for you to understand who you are as a believer. First of all, who were you created to be like? You're created to be like God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So you and I are created to be image bearers of our heavenly Father. It's what you were made to be, an image bearer of your heavenly Father. And that's the guys and the gals, right? It's all of us, right? So, who are we becoming? Now, in the natural, for good or bad, whether you like it or not, the older we get, the more we tend to look like our parents. Anybody here? Right? The older we get, we start looking at pictures like, oh my goodness, I'm starting to look like my dad, right? Or my mom, or whatever it might be. And not only just a physical image, but actually just some of their mannerisms, some of the things they would say. I know many times in my life, I've said something, and I went, man, I sound like my dad. That's exactly what my dad would have said, right? So in the natural, we tend to become more and more like our earthly parents, okay? Now, perhaps you had a father that was a great role model. And when you think of becoming like your dad, perhaps you're thinking, that's awesome. I want to be like my dad, you know? That's a compliment to me, okay? But maybe you're here this morning and you had a father that was an absentee father or even an abusive father. And you look at your dad and you're like, there's not much about my father that I really want to be like. I understand. I get it, right? There are those of us that are like that. Most of us, probably, it's kind of a mixed bag. Most of us are like, yeah, I really like that about my mom or my dad, and you know, I'll take that, but I really want to leave that other part out. And so for most of us, it's kind of a mixed bag. And the truth is, none of us had perfect earthly parents, right? None of us have. And but here's the good news. Here's the good news. Our Heavenly Father is not an absentee father or an uninvolved father or an abusive father. Our Heavenly Father, in fact, is a perfect Father. If you were to write a description of your idea of a perfect father, that's what God would be, only better, right? He is the ultimate picture of perfection. He's the perfect Father, and our goal is to be like our Heavenly Father, okay? In fact, Jesus said that very plainly in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Jesus said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. All right? Now, let me talk about that for a minute. First of all, Jesus is reaffirming what I just said, that our Father is perfect, right? Our heavenly Father is perfect. But also, Jesus is making this bold statement, and that is that we are to make it our goal to be like our Father. Now, listen, I get it. None of us are perfect, and we're not going to be perfect until Jesus comes back, right? So don't be hiding your head like, oh, I don't live up. None of us lives up to this, right? None of us lives up to this. But our mindset needs to be that that's our goal. Okay, you see the difference? Like, we get it. None of us are perfect. But our mindset needs to be, I'm going to do my best to be like my Father in heaven. That should be our goal as a Christian. Now, we're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by our own righteousness. We're saved solely by the grace of God. So we're not trying to achieve salvation here. We are simply trying to live up to the incredible price that Jesus paid for us when he shed his blood on the cross. And we're saying, if Jesus loves me that much, I'm going to do everything in my power now with the help of the Holy Spirit to be like my Heavenly Father and live up to the standard that Jesus has called me to. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 says this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new. Everybody say new. In the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like who? Created to be like God. In true, not phony, not religious, in true righteousness and holiness. Paul writes, this is our goal as a believer, to be like God, to be like our Heavenly Father, to do our best to look like Him, to talk like Him, to behave like Him. That is our goal. We're created to be like Him. And all of this is only because of the grace of God and the work He's doing in our lives. So instead, guys, of having this mindset that you're always going to fail, right? I'm always going to blow it. I'm just the way I am. I can't help myself. This is just the way it is. Rather than having the mindset of failure, have the mindset that says, no, you know what? Yeah, I'm sinful. I get it. I've lived lower than God's standards many times in my life, but by His grace, it's always going to be my purpose to live up to my Father. Amen? It's a different mindset that says my goal, my aim in my life is to be like my Father. 1 John chapter 3 says this: see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All of us have this hope in Him. Purify ourselves just as He is pure. So John is saying, look, one day you're going to be like Jesus. And until then, you keep your eye on the prize, right? You keep looking forward to what God has called you to be, all right? So everyone say this with me. All right, I'll say it ahead of time because it's a little long. My life goal is to be like my Heavenly Father. Okay, 1, 2, 3. My life goal is to be like my Heavenly Father. Come on, with a little more conviction. My life goal is to be like my Heavenly Father. That's what you were created to be. All right, question number 2. Are you cursed or blessed? Are you cursed or blessed? Well, verse 28 in our text this morning says, and God bless them, right? God bless them. Now you might be thinking to yourself, yeah, but Tim, right, later in the story, are you forgetting about the fall? Adam and Eve sinned, they rebelled against God, and have you forgotten that God put a curse on mankind that's passed down from generation to generation? No. I haven't forgotten about the curse, but I don't want you to forget about the cross. The cross came to undo the curse. Yes, humankind is cursed. But those of us who have found Jesus Christ, we're not cursed anymore. We're blessed. We're blessed. Do we live in a cursed world? We certainly do. Are we cursed? No, we're not. We're blessed. We're blessed in Jesus Christ. We're blessed. Jesus came to reverse the curse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, right? Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, this is speaking of Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? We're not cursed, we're blessed. And then Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All right? Man, what a huge difference it makes. You can walk around in this world with your head down, saying, I'm cursed, I'm cursed, I'm cursed, I'm cursed. Or you can walk around in Jesus Christ saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Amen? Amen. Which do you want? Yeah, I choose to be blessed. How about you? Yeah, we're blessed. All right, so everybody all together? Another affirmation of faith. This one's a little simpler. I am blessed by God. Here we go. I am blessed by God. Come on, a little happier. I am blessed by God. Amen. And then number three. All right. Well, let me just give you a little truth here, because the devil doesn't want you to know that you're blessed by God. The devil wants you to believe that you're still cursed, rejected by God, that you're destined for a life of failure and futility. Nothing could be further from the truth. So let me give you this little truth bomb. The truth: we've been set free from the curse. We've been chosen by God, adopted into his family as sons and daughters, and we are destined for eternal life, victory, and glory. Hallelujah. Write that down and read it later this week. All right? Or take a picture of it. All right? And read it when you need it this week. All right? We're blessed. Okay? And then number three. I have a feeling this one's going to be a little more sticky for some of you. Does God see me as good or bad? Does God see me as good or bad? So that sixth day of creation, how's it end? God saw all that he made, and it was what? Yeah, actually, it was very good. All right? Not just good. It was very good. All right? This is how God saw it. This is God's estimation of his creation. It was very good, all right? And I want you to know, when God looks at your life, he doesn't see you as bad. He sees you as good. He sees you as very good. You're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. The enemy wants you to walk around in shame and embarrassment and guilt because of how you've lived your life, the bad choices you've made. All right? I get it. There are parts of all of our lives we're not happy with, and if we could do them over, we would, right? Anybody here like to just turn back the hands of time and like, I wish I could unsay that thing? I wish I could undo that thing? All of us. And we can choose to live in that kind of guilt and shame and regret, or we can choose to accept the fact that although, yeah, we've done those things, the grace of God has come upon our lives. He has forgiven us, not just a little bit, he's forgiven us of everything, and we've been made absolutely clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So now when God looks at your life, he doesn't see the sin. He doesn't look at you as being bad. You are very good because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, Paul does this amazing theological comparison between Adam and then the person he calls the second Adam, Jesus. Right? So the first Adam, I want you to get this picture. The first Adam had one commandment to follow, and he blew it, right? This had like one thing he couldn't do, and he did it. We're going to get to that in a couple weeks, all right? Jesus came into this world, on the other hand, the second Adam, and he was, the Bible says, tempted in every way just like us. Like, Jesus was tempted in a multiplicity of ways, and yet never sinned. Not even one time. First Adam blew it. The second Adam lived up to every requirement of God. Jesus did, right? The first Adam, he blew it in the garden. The second Adam, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Garden of Gethsemane, Garden of Eden, all right? Garden of Gethsemane, where instead of doing his own thing, Jesus said, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Okay? So as a believer, we've got a choice to make. Are we going to be like our first earthly parent, Adam, and do things our way? Or are we going to be like Jesus, our Savior, and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want for my life. Amen? Yeah. Through Jesus Christ, are you good or are you bad? You're good. You're very good. You've been made righteous through his blood. Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, let's just meditate on that one great truth right there. I, for one, am glad it doesn't read like this. There is now very little condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Anybody here? There is now hardly any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am so glad that that says there is now no, zero, nada, nothing. No, not a trace of it, not a hint of it. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, guys, this isn't self-righteousness. This is not holier than thou. This is humility and thankfulness. God, I thank you for your grace. It's so incredible. I just can't even believe that now there's no condemnation. With everything I've done, with all the ways I've offended you, God, and all the ways I've blown it and the people I've hurt, I can't even hardly believe this, Lord, but it's what your word says, that there's no condemnation left in my life. And it's because of God's great grace and love for us. Amen? Amen. Do we earn forgiveness? Nope. We accept forgiveness, right? Do we save ourselves? Nope. Jesus has saved us. Are we saved by works? Nope. We're saved by grace. Are we partially forgiven? We're completely forgiven, right? So God sees us now, because of Jesus, as good. All right? So we got three important truths about your life this morning. I want you to take these with you. I want you to live these things out. They're life transforming. They're life changing. Okay? So everyone, we're going to read these together. All right? Here we go. My goal is to be like, my life goal is to be like my heavenly Father. I blew it, so I'll give you another chance. My life goal is to be like my heavenly Father. I am blessed, and God sees me as good. Woo! Come on, rejoice, church. This is good news. This is good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come before you right now, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your amazing, amazing love for us. I want to give this invitation this morning with everyone's heads bowed and eye closed this morning. Are you here and you've not yet accepted God's love for you? You haven't accepted the forgiveness that's available to you through Jesus Christ. I want you to know Jesus died for you. He died on a cross for your sins, just as he did for my sins. And this gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life, is available to every person, not just a few people. It's available to every person. You might have ruled yourself out of God's grace. You might have thought to yourself, well, there's no hope for me. I've gone too far. I want you to know that's a lie. God loves you. His grace is for you. God is on your side. And so if you're here this morning and you'd like to pray to receive Christ, or you need to reconnect with God this morning, I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer right now, right where you're at. So if that's you today, I'm going to count to three. And this morning, if you would like to pray to receive Christ into your life, This is the greatest opportunity. It's the greatest gift available to mankind. And so when I say three, if you'd like to pray to receive Christ, just raise your hand up and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of faith right where you're seated. One, two, three. If you want to receive Christ, raise your hand up. Anybody in this house today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just wait another moment. Anybody today you want to receive Christ into your life? Now I want to address something else in prayer this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and yeah, you're a Christian and you've accepted the Lord and you know intellectually that you've been forgiven, but you continue to walk around in shame and condemnation and you feel so weighted down by your past. And this morning my prayer is that the truth of Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, that will penetrate deep into your heart and spirit today. So if today you've been walking under a weight of condemnation, would you just raise your hand up? I want to pray that God would just set you free from that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Just be honest. Hallelujah. Father, right now, we just come against every lie of the enemy, the accusation. Your word says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's making accusation. He's trying to bring shame and guilt. And just pray, God, for those this morning that have been walking under the weight and heaviness of guilt and shame. In the name of Jesus, we declare that guilt and shame have been taken care of on the cross. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray for these individuals that they would be set free from the burden of trying to make up for their past, because it won't work. I pray that they'd be set free from trying to earn it, trying to work for it, and they would simply accept your grace and your mercy, that you already paid the price for that sin when you died on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.